Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Let us pray. And Father, thank you so very, very much for your presence this morning. Thank you for your word that is true. Thank you for your word that is living and active and brings a life within us. And thank you that, Lord, this is just the beginning of the rest of our lives. Bless us as we continue. Help us in all that we do. In Jesus' name. And all the eternals said, amen. Amen. Put your hands together this morning. This morning we are talking about miracles. Amen. And I want you to understand that miracles are not supposed to be special, but they are to be a part of our normal lives. It is to be how we live our day-to-day lives. Amen.
Amen.
So last week we said that your preparations will fail. You didn't hear that? How many have prepared for an exam and when the results came, you're not happy? It wasn't what you were expecting. Only this side. This side, you don't do exams. Oh, okay. Yeah, you are prepared, but your preparations failed. And that is, I won't say common, but it happens in this life. What it means is you cannot put all your hope in your preparations. It doesn't work like that. Amen. This morning, turn to John chapter 5, the man at the pool. Very short message, just 4 points that I want you to carry with you and take it home. Just 4 points. Jesus and the man at the pool. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt means crippled, withered, and waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. What's happened to our scriptures is gone. You've taken it off. You've changed your mind. They should know themselves. They should bring their Bibles. They should bring their Bibles. Okay. So please bring your Bible. Verse 5. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Hallelujah. This is one of the interesting stories in the Bible. And Jesus went to a place. Are you listening? It's a very short message. Just pay attention. He went to a place. There were many people there. It says there was a multitude. Many, many people there. And Jesus went in and healed just one person. He healed just one person. Then he left. And that one person was made well. He walked. He took up his mattress and walked and went home. And that is the whole story at the pool of Bethesda. Hallelujah.
Amen.
4 points I want to give you this morning.
Okay.
Number one, God is not removing poverty from the world. He is not removing all sickness, all trouble. He is not in the business of fixing every problem. Amen. Because some people are looking for perfection. They are looking for everybody to do well in the world because of miracle power. But Jesus didn't come to remove all poverty. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 7. This is Jesus talking. Verse 7. I don't know whether. And he said, "For ye have the poor with you always." Always. Tell your neighbor, there will always be somebody poor. No, hold your neighbor and call his attention in case you are the one I'm talking to. There will always be somebody poor. Amen. Are you listening? You see, this is to Christians. This is to the disciples. Sometimes we feel that the poor should be somewhere else, and then all of us who are the children of God should be very, very rich and prosperous. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 11. Very, very, very interesting. "For the poor shall never cease out of the land." I don't know what you are praying for, but this one, stop praying that the poor will finish, that all will become rich. No. The poor will never cease. Tell somebody there will always be poor. God didn't, you see, Jesus had the power to bring money from places. He was able to bring a fish to bring money to go and pay his taxes. And he was able to multiply bread. So he could have multiplied money, but he didn't. Not that he couldn't, but he didn't. So he didn't come to take away all poverty. It means that somebody will be poor. Amen.
Amen.
It means that somebody will be poor. And the poor will be among us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the way, tell your neighbor, nobody must be able to tell whether you are rich or poor by looking at you. No. Nobody. Oh, say that nobody well. Nobody must be able to know whether you are rich or poor by looking at you. If somebody who doesn't know you can look at you and say you are rich or you are poor, there are two problems. One, you are proud and you are showing your wealth. Or two, you are insecure and you are showing your poverty. No one should know. You should look. You should be you. That's all. Only your best friend must know whether you are rich or you are poor. Wow. Are you listening? Yes. Only your best friend, only your closest friend who has your PIN number. Okay, they don't have your PIN number. But only your best friends who are with you in your room, who can open your door, open your trunk, open your suitcase, walk in and walk out, they are the only ones who must know your financial situation. Nobody must know what is left in your, whether your account is empty or not. If they do, two problems. One is what? You are proud. And two is, you are insecure. You should just be able to be yourself. Amen. Because there will always be poor. There will, by all means, be poor Christians. It's part of the package. Hallelujah. So, number one, there will always be poor. I didn't say you, but there will always be a poor person. Amen. So, what does it mean? It means that whether you are poor or not, you must still serve God powerfully. Because there will be poor. Your poverty or your riches is not an excuse for bad behavior. Zephaniah. I've almost finished. This is point two out of four. I've almost finished. Zephaniah chapter 3. The poor must, or the poverty is no excuse for you not to serve God or to behave funny. I'm waiting for Zephaniah chapter 3. It's not coming. Okay. Verse 12. And he says, I will also, look at this scripture carefully. This is the Lord speaking. I will live in the midst of thee. Not that I will live, means that I will place among you an afflicted and poor people. You're not happy again. There will be, I will live in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. And they shall still trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Your poverty, your lack of money, your no pocket money, no salary, debts, all kinds of financial pressure is not a reason for you to not serve God. Amen. It's not a reason for you to turn against God and say, God has disappointed me. God has failed me. God didn't bless me. Look at somebody's getting 1,000 CDs. Somebody's getting $1,000. Me, I have nothing. It's not fair. I'm going. You are a fool. You are going where? Stay where you are. Amen. Tell me, but stay where you are. Because in your situation and in your condition, you are supposed to serve God exactly as you are until things change. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 35. Look at, you see, Hebrews 11 from verse 1 is a success story. All those who overcame, all those who did great works. Hebrews 1 to about 34, 33 is a success story. 35. Some women received again their dead by a resurrection. But, look, oh, then it changes. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept the release. Give me the Amplified. Amplified amplifies, expands the scripture to make it clear. And it said, others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept the release, often on terms of denying their faith. They were asked to deny their faith and then be released. They said, no, we are holding on to our faith. Amen. Amen. We are holding on to their faith. So some had their dead brought back to life. Others were killed. Rich. Others didn't get the same results. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell me about your poverty. Should not be a reason for you to be a some way Christian. So when Jesus came to the pool and there were a lot of people there and he healed only one person, the other multitude have no reason to be angry at God. No, because he left a multitude of poor and afflicted in the place. He didn't overlook them. He left them there. He saw them there. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Are you listening? Your poverty, you're not poor. Tell somebody, I'm not poor. I'm not the one you are talking about. No. I don't know who the poor is, but it's not me. But whatever you are, because we can't tell who you are by looking at you. We don't know that you are rich or you are not. But whatever state you are in, you are supposed to serve God with strength. Amen. Yeah. So at the poolside, this man got up and went to serve the Lord. You are supposed to serve God. You are not supposed to be any complain about anything. No. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
Is it clear? I've almost finished. This is point two. I'm on point three. Yeah, I've almost finished. Amen. Point three. Some people deserve their situation. Some people, how it is for you now, you deserve it. And it won't change. No. There's a reason why you are the way you are. There is something behind it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There may be a legal contract that is applicable, holding you in the place where you are. Listen to this. Second Samuel. We are talking about poverty and sickness and bad luck and issues, troubles, financial pressure. We are talking about people who are in a situation where things are not working very well. And we are believing God for a miracle.
Oh, yes.
Is it not the case? Yeah. You are believing God for a breakthrough, but it hasn't broken yet. It's getting harder and harder. 2 Samuel chapter 3. When Abner arrived at Hebron, you know, this is the story. You must tell somebody, you must know the Bible stories, because we can't go and go through all the stories every time. We cannot. This is David, Abner, and Joab, and the house of Saul, and the house of David, and how the kingdom was transferred from the house of Saul to the house of David. And there was war, and David grew stronger, and Saul grew weaker. I'm giving you a summary in 5 seconds. Amen.
Amen.
And then Abner, Ishbosheth went to offend Abner about a girl. Girls are a problem, but it's okay. And so Abner said, if that is the case, I'm going to join David. And Abner came to see David at Hebron. But earlier on, Abner had killed Joab's brother in war. It was a battle. They were fighting. And he told Asahel, don't follow me. He was too known. I will follow you. I will fight with you.
General.
Yes, but he was killed by a greater general. So Joab was angry at Abner. So when Joab came and they told him, Abner had come here and has gone in peace. Joab said, how? This is my enemy. How can he come here and go away in peace? Because he came and met David. David said, let's make a pact and let's agree on something that we can end the war and bring the two kingdoms together. And Joab said, no. So he went and called Abner to come back in David's name, that come back and come and see something. So now the story continues, verse 27. When Abner arrived at Hebron, Joab met him at the gateway, pulled him aside to talk to him in private, and then stabbed him in the stomach. Now, do you understand that? This is betrayal. And so he got his revenge against Abner. Joab killed Abner because Abner had killed Joab's brother Asahel. Later, David heard the news and said, my kingdom and I, we are innocent of the blood of the death of Abner, son of Ner. The Lord knows this. He said, this man's killing is not me. I have no hand in it. But look, but Joab, are you listening? Are you listening? Joab and his family are responsible for this, and they'll be cursed. Look, are you listening? Many troubles, not one, not two, a series of troubles will come to his family, his people, not Joab. Are you seeing the paradox of it? Not Joab, but his people will be sick with leprosy, crippled, killed in war, and not have enough food to eat. Not Joab, but who? His who? So his son and Bible says God is a jealous God who doesn't forgive things but carries it to the third and fourth generation. So Joab and his people, are you listening? So somebody sitting somewhere who was not there when Joab killed Abner, he's now coming to pay. He's now coming to pay. Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. And look at the answer. Then answered all the people, saying, his blood be on us. And on who? Are the children there? So his blood. You see, Moses say? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Blood will demand blood. So when you are saying his blood be on us and on our children, you are asking that the judgment that will befall you will come on you and your children. So if you are by mistake, your grandfather was there at the time of the crucifixion, and he was shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And you are sitting here in Ghana, you think there's peace and harmony? There is none. Amen. There is none. You are actually sitting here with a problem behind you because you have no idea. Are you listening? Many of us, you have no idea what your parents have done. You have no idea what has been said, what is going on behind your back. As you are sitting here, look at your neighbor, sitting here like a proper Christian, wearing nice face, nice hairstyle, everything. Oh, look at your neighbor. Say, you don't know that your grandmother was a witch. You don't know. Huh? You don't know what has been done in the past. Amen. Amen. This is look, as we are sitting here, we have no idea what our parents have done, what our parents' parents have done. And what is, we don't know. One day, my brothers and I, we were very, very curious to know the name Bruce. I mean, we are Ghanaians. We are not called Bwachi Yadom or called Anan or called Agbo or something. But look at the name they have given me, Bruce. I mean, clearly it's not from here. It's not from here. It's from somewhere. So we said, let's find out the origins of this name. So we began to investigate, and luckily there are records. If you look, you find there are records in different places. Hey, do you know what we found? Do you know what we found? Number one, the name Bruce is Scottish. It's Scottish. But I'm not from Scotland. Yeah. And there's no whiteness in my blood to make me a bit fair to justify that there was a marriage somewhere. So there's not any cross of Scottish blood into the Ghanaian blood. So do you know what we found? Should I tell you that the Scotsman Bruce was a slave trader? And he had a local contact on the ground who was helping him put the slaves on the ship. And that local guardman took the name Bruce. Yes. So my ancestor was a slave trader. Yeah. And I'm sitting here carrying his name. All the slaves who were going, who were cursing. Hey. Oh, are you listening now? Have I seen a slave before? Have I even touched anybody before? But somebody who is down the line somewhere has been carrying people and pushing them into the ship to go to America. And that journey is months. For months, curse that man. He will die. His leg will break. Something bad will happen to him. And all, you see, when you speak from a certain pain, a certain justified pain, God hears. I said, God hears. When somebody is very angry at you and say, hey, you broke my heart, you will see. God hears and feel the pain of the broken heart. And you'll be amazed that he's going to respond to it. As you are sitting here, you have no idea what your parents have done. Amen. Amen. You have no idea what a certain man, a certain family, not a man, a certain family, they were there, no, then, their father died. He passed. I mean, he had a heart attack. I've forgotten. Heart attack or something. He died suddenly. So when he passed, they were all very sad and they were just there. Then soon after, another one passed. Then another one passed. Then the family business that was doing well suddenly didn't do well again. Then another, so I think they lost 3 people or 4 people in a very short time. So some families, when these things happen, they go to look into it. Yes, they go and do research, as we did research. They also go and do research. And when they went to do research, do you know what they found? Their father had gone to a fetish and had gone to invoke help for his wife and his children. And every year, he would go to the village and do a party. But the party was not a party. It was to sacrifice a goat to the fetish. So every year, you say, oh, let's all go home to the village for Homowo. Let's all go home for what? What are that? Hogwechocho? Or let's all go home to the village for what? What? Abuachi. Abuachi. Yeah, let's all go home for a festival. We'll go and kill a goat and enjoy it. They all say, yeah, there's a goat meat waiting for us. They didn't know that it was a sacrifice to the God that his father had invoked. So every year he would go and invoke, and they were doing well. Then he died, and no one knew about the sacrifice. So that year, they didn't go. And the God woke up. You owe me a life. You owe me blood. You didn't bring that blood, I'll take it myself. Then he began to take. So they had to now go back. You see, as you are sitting here, you have no idea the reasons for your condition. Amen. Let me show you something. Where is the scripture? There is a reason why things are the way they are. Amen. And the seed of Israel, Nehemiah 9 and verse 2. We are talking about the miracle of Jesus healing just one man. And we are talking about the fact that some of the situations that we meet in life, they are deserved. They are based on something which you sitting here in your innocence don't know about it. But it is actually a real case against you and your family. And something has to be done about it. Amen. But you see, I have news for you. Because even in that situation, one man got his miracle. Amen. One man got his miracle. So this morning, I came to tell you that even in all this situation, one person will get his miracle. Yes. And how did he get it? Verse 2, 9-2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and they stood. And what they do, they confess their sin and the iniquities of their fathers. They confess their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They said, whatever, are you listening? They said, whatever my father has done, whatever my grandfather has done, whatever, we are in church this morning. They said, whatever there is down my family line, knowing my people, knowing how things are, Lord, forgive me. You're not understanding. Forgive me the iniquities of my fathers. Forgive me for whatever my father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, let it pass over me. Amen. Whatever trouble there has been, whatever contract, they confess their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They said, whatever has been there before in their past, Lord, let it go. Deliver me from that thing. Let a new contract be written in my place. Whatever trouble there, and you see, I don't know. Some of us, when you look into your family, you can see the trouble. A certain guy, I remember once I had a certain friend. Suddenly, he became very sad. And he became very quiet. And we all noticed that, you're not as bubbly as you used to be. Why? What is it? He said, I'm 49. And I said, you're 49, so what? What's it got to do with it? He said, in my house, there's no man at 50. All the men die 50, around that time. I said, how? How is it possible? He said, there's no man in my house 50 and above. And I'm 49. So, it's in the family. I said, you'll be the exception. I said, you will be the exception. So, we began to pray. And we prayed. I said, Lord, whatever it is, this one, he's under the blood of Jesus and not the blood of the family. If you must choose the blood of Jesus and let that one prevail over him. And we prayed over him. Today he's past 50, he's going on to 60 or something like that. Yeah. Amen. Some houses, you can see that there is no married woman in the house. All born and just move on. There is no, look, Taniba, I don't know about your family, but you must also look at your family. There is no white wedding in the family. I was talking to a certain young lady. She said, my mother had about 8 sisters, 9 sisters. Not one of them is married. Their children is there. Not one is married. All of them were just born. We just born. How? And those who marry, traditional marriage, it breaks. And then they come back home. Tell anybody, check your house. Check your house. Yeah. Some houses. No, look, I was surprised to see somebody telling me that I'm the first in my house to go to JSS. JHS. JHS. I'm the first. All of them, they don't go anywhere. Hey, so there are issues over houses. Hallelujah. There are houses where they marry and divorce. Some they don't marry. Some they don't get work. One of my friends told me, he said, me, even communion wine, I'm careful. I asked him why. He said, in my family, the men, they're all drunkards. They begin nicely. They get a job, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Agriculture. They get a nice government job. And they are doing very well. Then they are posted to Asakangwa, or they are posted to, where are they posted to? Enchi, or they are posted to Yeji, or they are posted to Seshwi. They are posted somewhere, a nice man. I want a nice man. A nice man like somebody here. They are posted to somewhere. Then they go there. Then suddenly, there in the place, they just go and sip one akoteshi, sip one ogoglu, sip one something. Before you are aware, the guy has sports. Before you are aware, the guy is sports. And then they bring him back home a drunkard. And then he has lost his job or he's just a super... Ghana government, they don't sack often. So he's just a superficial worker. And he said, it has happened to all the uncles. One by one, by one, by one. They go and work and then they are brought home drunk. Then they die soon after from something or other. So he said, communion. Even communion cry his prayer about it. Because no alcohol will touch his mouth. I don't know what it is, the magnet or the hook in the wine, that when you touch it has caught you. Then it's dragging you into a destruction. Amen. Amen. Something is working against people. Hallelujah. And many, you see, some of us, we are forcing to change conditions and they are not changing. We are trying to improve. And are you listening to me? We are trying to improve. It's not improving. Listen, that's why there's something called a church. A hospital is for sick people who are physically sick. A church is for sick people who are spiritually sick. Yeah. It's for a place that you are going to cure you of these issues you are carrying. And don't, you see, I cannot say my house, they don't marry. You cannot say your house, they don't marry. Why? It's embarrassing. Hey, doctor, when they come to the doctor and say, where is my stomach? It's not your stomach, it's the abortion you're going to do. It's not just saying my stomach is paining me. Oh, no. Look, one Sunday, I was standing at my pulpit, I got a message. Come now. Why? My church member has just died from abortion that didn't finish well. And she went to the doctor and said, my stomach. And so they gave her stomach medicine. They didn't give anti-abortion medicine. Oh, that day, no, I had to go and bury her. Her family said, they're going to bury her now. I said, wait, I'm coming, I beg you. She's a churchgoer. I said, no, we are Muslims, she's a churchgoer. So I had to go and bury her with all the Muslims standing around me. Why? Because you say it's your stomach when it's your pelvis. Yeah. Tell somebody, speak their truth, though. Look at your family well. Look at your situation well. And see what it is. Where's Nehemiah 2:9-2? And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Amen. So as we are sitting here, tell somebody, maybe what is doing you is real. It's not your manpower that will fight it. No, you can't use manpower to fight devils, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty. You want to use carnal weapons to fight those things. It won't work at all. You are going to be surprised that you are going to find that you are working and struggling for nothing. So, listen. Number one, are you listening? We'll pray 5 minutes before we close today, just in case. Number one, pray that, Lord, all the sins of my fathers, all the sins of my fathers, forgive me. I am innocent of their behavior. I wasn't there, son. I wasn't there when they went to do that contract with the fetish, the stone, the god, the crab, the owl. I wasn't there. Lord, deliver me from that thing. You say amen.
Amen.
And number two, forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins. Because in John chapter 5, the man who was healed at the poolside. There's a very important point here that I think we have missed over the years, but I want to just bring it up for you. John chapter 5, the man who was healed at the pool had an infirmity. How many years? 38 years that he was sick and lying down. I mean, he was lying down for 38 years. Verse 14. Then later, Jesus found the man in the temple and said to him, "You are well now, but stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you." Do you know what it means? It means this man, 38 years ago, he sinned some sin, and that's why he was crippled. 38 years ago, how old was he? I don't know. But very likely, young people, he sinned a sin in his youth that has followed him for 38 years. And that sin has crippled him, made him poor, destitute, or whatever. You think that he was just sick for nothing? No. Jesus warned him, stop sinning. Or what? Something worse than this will come upon you. So Jesus came to break. His confession came afterwards. Jesus came to meet him where he was and delivered him out of his problem. And then he said, look, Mr. Man, you did. You see, young people, you think life is, it will be okay. Life is nice and you can fool around and behave anyhow. Some sins are lying down waiting for you to be marked on the register later in life. This man, 38 years ago, he did something that is following him up to now. I wonder what he did. Yeah, I wonder how old he was when he did that thing. Is he 48 now that he was 10 years old? When he did that sin, is he 58, that he was 20 years old? I don't know how old he was. But whatever it was, Jesus said, stop sinning. Tell anybody, stop sinning. Oh, you might tell him, stop sinning.
Stop sinning.
Or some trouble will come upon you. You'll be amazed at all your efforts, all your attempts to overcome poverty are not working. They are not working. All your efforts, you are trying to get a job, trying to become a graduate, trying to become a civil servant, trying to do something. And yet somehow, it's just full cycle, always coming to point one. There's something there. Tell somebody there's something there. There's something there. Yeah. And that's why this morning, look, tell your neighbor, brother, pray, or sister, pray. Pray. Pray what? Pray that, Lord, deliver me from the behavior of my ancestors. And you see, some of you are sitting here, it's not your father, it's your uncle. The uncle has gone to invoke something for me and my wife. I see all of us. All of us, we are covered. You don't understand. You don't have a wife, I see. You don't have some. Yeah. His uncle and my family, when they say family, they don't mean wife and children. They mean all their sisters and their children too. And they have gone to, in their mind, they are spreading their wings to help people. They don't know that they are bringing a curse on many people. They don't know. And they are bringing, and that is why sometimes, look at me, you see repeated problems. You see long-lasting problems. You see problems with no solution going on and on and on and on. Because there's a reason why it is there. There's a reason why it is there. Amen. And that's why the people said, forgive us. We pray for the, confess our sins and pray for the iniquities of our fathers. But all the same, even in this case where the man was there, Jesus came and said, no, still, I will do what I will do. I will do what I will do. And then he healed him and said, go. You have not forgiven, but go. I forgive you. Hallelujah. This morning, somebody is in line to receive divine help in his life. Oh, yes. Somebody is in line. Somebody is in a position where God will rise up and help you in your life. You're not saying amen.
Amen.
You're not saying amen.
Amen.
Or you don't believe what I'm saying. You're not looking into your life to see what is happening. There is a joke. It's a joke. But I think it's true because I saw it in my family. Every house has a witch. Oh, yes. Every house. You see, I didn't say, don't blame the grandmother. Sometimes it's not a grandmother. It's a nice auntie somewhere. Sometimes it's not an old woman who is misbehaving. No, it could be some nice, sweet somebody who has got it from somewhere. But there is trouble. And just look at your house and see there's recurrent issues. Issues that are not changing. Drunkenness, death, divorce, poverty, sickness. Some diseases are always coming back. But at the same time, there is a breakthrough for somebody in this house in the name of Jesus. There's a breakthrough. Because Jesus came and healed one person. May you be that one person. I said, may you be that one person. That he will be healed and you'll be delivered. In the name of Jesus. May you be that one person that will rise up and becomes great in your house. Be the one person who will be the first to travel to America and get American citizenship. Be the first to buy a car, a brand, whatever car it is. I said, may you be the one to break out of that thing that is holding everybody else down. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May you be different from your relatives. That's the best way to see it. Look at your cousins. Look at your relatives. Look at your family. You can see that they all didn't finish school. They all didn't marry. They all have girls. They all born a child before they married. They all have. Look around and see the pattern. See the pattern. and decide, I will be different from that pattern. I said, I will be different from that pattern. That pattern of divorce, of failure, of whatever it is, it will not appear in my life. In the name of Jesus. One person will be delivered. May it be you. I said, one person will break out of that pattern. May it be you. One person will be the graduate, the successful person, the one with a nice house, nice car, with a mansion. One person will be the one who has money flowing through his hands, successful in business. One person will be the one who will marry and have his beautiful wife, beautiful children, sweet sister, everybody's around keeping him. That one person, may it be you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Break every chain. I said, break every chain. Break every bondage. Break every limitation. Whatever it is that is holding others down, may you be exempt from that thing in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that is in your house, in your family, in your tribe, in your system, whatever it is, may that thing pass over you. I said, may it pass over you. May you escape it in the name of Jesus. I said, may you escape it. May you not be tagged by that same disease, not be tagged by that same failure. May you escape that trouble that has hit all the men or the women or the children in your house. Whatever it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.